Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Today we're going to read articles that would make any 7-year-old delighted. I would have said 5-year-old, but you may need to be a little more mature to understand why you should inspect your pee for cloudiness, how the esophagus relates to blowing your nose too hard, and that stank nasty breath is termed halitosis. Before we jump into a number of articles that relate to not quite polite dinner table discussion, know that I have discovered that the sound of the word bladder can be somewhat funny even when you are a long way from age 7. And we start with an article from Women's Health by Nicole Blades titled 8 Reasons Your Pee Looks Kinda Cloudy. Here's the thing about pee, it doesn't really beg to be looked at on the TP. Still, it's wise to take a peek in the toilet after relieving yourself every once in a while. Most of the time, pee is going to look exactly how it should, clear and pale yellow. But what if it looks a little cloudy, opaque even? First, I know I say this all the time, but don't freak. Well, yes, cloudy pee is a sign that something is off. It's likely nothing serious. There are several totally NBD reasons why your pee might be looking a little hazy, says Hajar Ayub, MD, a urologist with UT Health and UT Physicians. Take stock of the following reasons why your urine might be a little off, and if things don't clear up, literally, in a few pees, it might be time to see your doctor. 1. You're not drinking enough water. Dehydration is a common culprit for cloudy pee, says Ayub, but drinking more Diet Coke or iced coffee isn't necessarily going to help you out. You need good old-fashioned H2O, she says. That's because any kind of caffeinated beverage can make dehydration worse. When we don't consume enough water, urine becomes more concentrated and crystallized, says Ayub. This will cause irritation in the bladder and can lead to cloudy urine. It's recommended that the average adult drink about 70 ounces a day, barring any fluid restrictions for medical reasons such as heart and kidney diseases, she says. 2, you have a urinary tract infection. Yes, every woman's favorite thing, a UTI, can definitely cause your pee to look a bit cloudy. That's because UTIs happen when bacteria infects any part of the urinary system, your kidneys, bladder, and urethra. But UTIs typically only infect your bladder or urethra and can be caused by dehydration, constipation, or just not emptying your bladder all the way, says Ayub. That bacteria is what makes your pee look opaque. Urine will sediment, stagnate, and become a milieu for bacteria, says Ayub. A UTI can be treated with a round of antibiotics to crush the infection, and it's definitely the sooner the better type of situation. 3, you have something called vaginitis. Vaginitis is basically inflammation of the vagina, and it can also bring about murky urine along with abnormal vaginal discharge and an unpleasant odor, plus itching, and possibly even pain during sex, says Ayub. Vaginitis can also develop as a result of an allergic reaction to certain irritants and chemicals in personal care products, like soaps or perfumed feminine products. If you think you might have vaginitis, see a doc. They'll likely prescribe you an antibiotic or antifungal medication, and things should clear up in a week or two. 4, you have a sexually transmitted infection. Sexually transmitted infections, STIs, like gonorrhea and chlamydia, cause cloudy urine, says Ayub, especially in the early stages of the infection. These infections often result in discharge, which taints the urine, she says. But cloudy urine can show up in more chronic stages of the infections, too. In the chronic setting, they also cause scar tissue in the urethra, which prevents the bladder from emptying and therefore results in cloudy urine, says Ayub. The tricky thing is, If you're not paying close attention to your urine and discharge, you might miss an STI. Aside from a change in appearance or amount of discharge, many STIs are asymptomatic, she says. Check with your doctor if you notice abnormal discharge, experience any itching or pain along with cloudy urine, and ask for an STI test. Number 5. You have a kidney stone or multiple kidney stones. Kidney stones are literally good for nothing, and those sharp, spiky, painful-to-pass suckers could be the reason for the fog in your pee. When moving, the stones might cause tiny scratches that result in blood and urine, which then shows up as cloudiness, says Ayoub. If the stones contain bacteria, they might bring on a UTI too, which again results in cloudy urine. Also, if the stones break up, some pieces will make urine look cloudy as well, she says. There's literally nothing fun about kidney stones, so check in with your doctor and pray for a swift exit. 6. Your urine might actually have blood in it. So yeah, blood is red, but if it shows up microscopically in your urine, it could make your pee look more cloudy than pinkish, says Ayoub. Causes of blood in urine include UTIs, kidney and bladder stones, enlarged prostate, and rarely urinary tract tumors. It's important to note that not every cloudy pee contains blood, she says, but you should get your urine tested and see a urologist to be sure. 7. You have chronic kidney disease. Just so you know, this one is highly unlikely in an otherwise healthy person. But chronic kidney disease, CKD, is still a possibility with cloudy urine. CKD is a progressive decline in the kidney's ability to perform one of its main functions, filtering metabolic waste products from the blood. This can lead to the excretion of protein, which makes the urine look cloudy, says Ayoub. Other symptoms include nausea, fatigue, difficulty breathing, muscle cramps, and yellowing of the skin. The kidney damage is usually permanent, but treatment can help ease progression. Lastly, number 8, you have diabetes. Diabetes is a chronic disease that develops when your blood glucose, or blood sugar, is too high. Insulin, a hormone produced by the pancreas, helps regulate that sugar and use it as energy. But when your body doesn't make enough insulin or doesn't use it properly, the sugar stays put in the blood instead of going to other cells. There are two main types of diabetes. Type 1 occurs when the body isn't producing insulin, and type 2, the more common of the two, occurs when the body isn't responding to insulin properly. According to AU, both types 1 and 2 can result in cloudy urine, as they can cause sugar to appear in the urine when the blood sugar levels are elevated. If you've had cloudy urine for a while, along with other common diabetes symptoms like urinating often and feeling extremely thirsty, check in with your doctor. We're going now from Women's Health to Men's Health magazine, published on November 27, 2018, written by Paul Nicholas. The title, Are You Blowing Your Nose All Wrong? Here's How to Do It Properly. Your latest bout with the cold has you tethered to an entire box of tissues. You know the drill. Blow, toss, repeat. No matter how often you unclog your drain, though, that mucus just keeps on coming. Sometimes it seems like there's no end in sight. It's a familiar scenario and typically a harmless one, too, but some unexpected dangers are lurking in all that snot. It turns out that blowing too hard can actually cause some real damage. So, what's the worst that can happen? While incredibly rare, some real doozies have been documented in medical literature, including a ruptured esophagus and severe headache caused by air pushed into the skull. Although highly unlikely, it's also possible to perforate your eardrum or fracture your eye socket, according to Vanessa Rothholtz, MD, of Pacific Coast Ear, Nose, and Throat. There are reports of complications impacting otherwise healthy individuals, but these more bizarre cases tend to involve an underlying issue stemming from previous surgery or trauma. If there is a defect in the bone that separates the eye or brain from the nose, then vigorous blowing could push air into these spaces, explains ear, nose, and throat specialist Robert Keller, MD, who practices at Colorado ENT and Allergy. and this could lead to more serious issues affecting vision or the central nervous system. It may not be likely that you'll do any significant harm by grabbing a tissue and letting her rip, but there are less dramatic, more common risks to be aware of. Forceful nose blowing can rupture small blood vessels and lead to nosebleeds, for example. And one study demonstrated that it can push nasal mucus into the sinuses. While not entirely proven, this suggests an increased risk of developing a full-fledged ear or sinus infection from your run-of-the-mill cold. Considering the risks, both regular and rare, experts suggest ditching the mighty double-barrel blow and replacing it with a gentler approach. Tackling one nostril at a time can help limit the increases in pressure that most complications are related to, and the use of appropriate treatments may lessen the force needed to clear your nose. An oral decongestant or nasal decongestant spray can help open the nasal passageway and promote drainage, says Omid B. Medizida, MD, an otolaryngologist and laryngologist at Providence St. John's Health Center. But a decongestant spray should not be used for more than 3 consecutive days, or a rebound effect could cause your symptoms to worsen. Yet another option is clearing your nose without having to blow at all. Consider using a saline or salt water spray or gentle irrigation to move the mucus out of the nasal passages, recommends Bradford A. Woodworth, MD, a professor with the University of Alabama at Birmingham's Department of Otolaryngology. This tends to work the best, he says, and is what I use every time I get a cold. CNN brings us our next article, titled Halitosis, 10 Reasons and Remedies for Your Bad Breath, and this is written by Sandy Lamont. Are you constantly failing the sniff test in which you surreptitiously blow into your cupped hands to check for stinky breath? Tip, if you can smell it, then your breath is flat out noxious, as most of us can't tell on our own, dentists say. If your mouth funk rates as stank nasty, then you and all those around you are victims of halitosis, breath that smells so repulsive it could only be attractive to buzzards and flies. You're not alone. Up to 80 million people have chronic bad breath, according to the Academy of General Dentistry. Besides the obvious impact on your popularity, bad breath can be a sign of diseases and conditions, some serious. While you race for a mint, it might help to know the top 10 reasons why your breath smells bad in the first place and what you can do about it. Number 1. You stink at brushing. Yes, poor dental care is a leading cause of bad breath. When food is trapped between your teeth and under your gums, bacteria get busy breaking it down, leaving behind putrid gases that smell like rotten eggs or worse, even as bad as poop. One way to tell if you have bad breath, dentists say, is to floss and then smell the thread. If there's a rank smell on the floss, you'll know for sure your breath is toxic. The good news is that you can easily fix this type of bad breath by brushing your teeth with fluoride toothpaste twice a day and flossing regularly. While the brush is in there, don't forget your tongue and cheeks. Studies show that brushing them can reduce bacteria load. Cosmetic mouthwashes and gum only temporarily cover up the stink, dentists warn, because neither reduces bacteria. 2. You ate or drank something smelly. Coffee, garlic, fish, eggs, onions, spicy food. The foods we eat can easily cause bad breath. Many of the foods that contribute to stinky breath do so by releasing sulfides. Sulfur, as you know, smells like rotten eggs. A mint or stick of gum might mask the reek, but be warned, odors from some of what you eat can stick around until the food works its way through your system, even if you brush. According to the Academy of General Dentistry, the allyl methyl sulfide in coffee, onions, and garlic can stay in your bloodstream and be expelled via your breath up to 72 hours after consumption. Try fighting back with other foods, such as lemons, parsley, and crisp fruits and veggies, such as apples or carrots, that stimulate saliva production, which your mouth relies on, to wash away impurities. Drinking water helps, too. Caffeine, on the other hand, slows the production of saliva. Number 3, you eat a lot of sweets. Before you plop that next sugary candy cake or cookie in your pie hole, listen closely. You might hear the chorus of cheers coming from the bacteria that live in your mouth. For them, sugar is a superfood, and boy, did they have a party gobbling it down, leaving a stink behind. Dentists say sticky candies, such as gummies and caramels, are the worst offenders. If you must eat something sweet, they suggest, oh joy, plain chocolate. It has less sugar than many other candies and dissolves more quickly in the mouth. Number four, you're on a low-carb diet. Eating a lot of protein and few carbs forces your body into ketosis, when your system begins to burn fat cells for energy. The process creates waste products called ketones. Too many of those aren't good, so your body has no choice but to make you a walking stankhouse, excreting ketones via your urine and your breath. It's a rank odor, which many compare to rotten fruit. Try drinking extra water to flush ketones out of your body. If you use breath mints, candies, or gum, be sure they are sugar-free. Number five, you're a mouth breather. At night, saliva production is decreased, which is why many of us wake up with a rotten taste and smell in our mouths, even after diligent brushing and flossing. Mouth breathing or snoring, such as from sleep apnea, further dries out the mouth, making your breath even more foul. Called xerostomia, dry mouth is not only unpleasant, but potentially harmful. You might develop a sore throat, hoarseness, difficulty speaking and swallowing, problems wearing dentures, and even a change in your sense of taste. The solution? Get to the bottom of your mouth breathing problems and fix them while drinking lots of water and keeping up your dental hygiene both morning and night. Of course, dentists also suggest regular checkups. Don't be shy or embarrassed if you tell your dentist about your persistent problem. He or she may be able to help pinpoint the cause. Six, your medications are partly to blame. Hundreds of commonly used medications can dry out your mouth, contributing to rank breath. Some of the most common culprits are meds that treat anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, pain, and muscle tension. Check the drug's list of side effects to see whether dry mouth is on it, and then talk to your doctor about switching to a medication that doesn't reduce saliva. 7. You've got a stuffy nose or allergies. Do you have chronic sinus infections, respiratory illnesses? As your nose gets stuffy, you're more likely to be breathing through your mouth, drying out tissues, and reducing saliva flow. If you have allergies, the struggle to stop the constant drip, drip, drip with an antihistamine can lead to bad breath as well. Many of the prescription and over-the-counter meds used to combat colds, flu, and allergies dry up more than just the nose. And all that postnasal drip can cause a stink by ending up stuck on the back of your tongue, which is incredibly hard to reach with a toothbrush. Dentists recommend scraping the back of your tongue with a specially designed scraper and rinsing with a mouthwash containing chlorine dioxide. Number 8, you smoke or chew tobacco or other things. If you're a smoker, you probably have no idea how the odor of tobacco clings to your clothes and belongings and especially your breath. Breathing in hot fumes dulls your senses, diminishing your ability to smell and taste. Obviously, hot air will also dry the mouth. The loss of saliva combined with the odor of tobacco creates the infamous smoker's breath. Cotton mouth is also a typical side effect of smoking or ingesting weed, a growing scenario across the country as more states legalize cannabis. Chawing tobacco? It's a no-brainer that your teeth will stain, your gums will suffer, and your breath will stink. The solution? You know. 9. You drink alcohol. Yep, we're still talking about things that dry out the mouth. That, my wine-loving, beer-drinking, cocktail-imbibing friends, includes alcohol. Not to mention, wine contains sugar, as do many of the mixers used to create cocktails. Cue the cheering crowds of bacteria. Fight back by sucking on sugar-free candies or chewing sugar-free gum, as both stimulate saliva production. Don't forget to drink water. It's also good in preventing hangovers, and brush and floss as soon as you can. But here's an irony. A lot of mouthwashes and rinses contain alcohol. So if halitosis won't leave you alone, talk to your dentist about using a therapeutic mouthwash designed to reduce plaque instead. And lastly, number 10, you have an underlying medical condition. Do you have heartburn, acid reflux, or gastroesophageal reflux disease? Puking up a bit of food or acid into your mouth can easily create bad breath. Don't write that off as just gross. Untreated GERD can easily develop into a serious illness, even cancer. Bad breath can also be an early sign of an underlying disease that may not have outward symptoms. One of the signs of diabetic ketoacidosis, a life-threatening condition that affects mostly people with type 1 diabetes, is fruity-smelling breath. It occurs because people with no to little insulin cannot metabolize ketone acids, allowing them to build up to toxic levels in the blood. Sweet-smelling breath in a person with type 1 diabetes should trigger prompt medical action. In rare cases, people with type 2 diabetes can also develop the condition. People with severe chronic kidney failure can have breath with an ammonia-like odor, which the U.S. National Library of Medicine says can also be described as urine-like or fishy. A sign of liver disease is fetor hepaticus, a strong, sweet, musty odor on the breath. It occurs because a diseased liver cannot fully process limonene, a chemical found in citrus peels and some plants. Scientists are trying to develop a breath test based on the smell that can alert doctors to early-stage cirrhosis of the liver, thus triggering treatment. Let's go now to Harvard Health Publishing to an article titled Build a Better Bladder. And this was published originally in February 2016. A leaky bladder or a sudden urge to go to the bathroom is uncomfortable and embarrassing, but you can take steps to alleviate the problem. Some people tell me they would have sought treatment sooner if they'd known it was this simple, says Dr. Anurag Das, director of the Center for Neuro-Urology and Continence at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. One of the first lines of defense is pill-free and costs nothing. Lifestyle change. For urge incontinence, you can try timed voiding, urinating on a schedule, and bladder guarding, which teaches you to cope with triggers that set off the urge to go, such as washing dishes or hearing water. You squeeze your muscles to hold in urine before a trigger, which sends a message to the brain that this is not the time to go, says Dr. Das. Other lifestyle changes include watching fluid intake, quitting smoking to reduce coughing and pressure on the bladder, and minimizing bladder irritants such as caffeine, alcohol, and carbonated drinks. The pelvic floor muscles aid control of your bladder and bowels. Strengthening these muscles can be helpful to people with stress incontinence as well as those with urge incontinence. This is done with Kegel exercises, which involve squeezing and releasing the muscles you use to hold in urine. A physical therapist can help you learn how to do the exercises properly. The majority of people with urge incontinence will improve with rehab. It may not make it 100% better, but even 75% may be acceptable to many people, says Dr. Das. When pill-free measures aren't enough to curb incontinence, medications may help. The most commonly prescribed drugs for urge incontinence are anticholinergics, such as oxybutynin or ditropan. Side effects can include dry mouth and eyes, headache, constipation, and confusion. Some drugs relieve stress incontinence, such as tricyclics like imipramine or tofranil, and alpha-adrenergic agonists like pseudoephedrine or Sudafed, which are often found in cold medicines. However, these two are limited by side effects and their effect declines over time. When an enlarged prostate causes overflow incontinence, alpha blockers such as doxazosin or Cardura may help by relaxing the smooth muscle of the prostate. It may take trial and error to find the best drugs with the fewest side effects. Injections of botulinum toxin or Botox, a muscle relaxant, are used to treat urge incontinence. The downside is a higher incidence of urine retention and risk of bladder infection. Some patients won't be able to urinate and may need to use a catheter, says Dr. Doss. Injections of calcium hydroxylapatite, coaptite, are used to treat stress incontinence by tightening the urethra. A procedure called sacral neuromodulation can help people with urge incontinence. A small device called InterStim is implanted in the lower back to stimulate the sacral nerve, improving both bladder and bowel problems. Surgery sometimes is used for stress incontinence. This involves creating a sling that wraps around a person's urethra. You don't have to use artificial mesh materials for the sling. You can use the patient's own fascia or muscle lining if preferred, says Dr. Doss. There is no surgery for overflow incontinence if the bladder muscle does not work. However, in cases of blockage from the prostate, prostate surgery may help. Types of incontinence. Stress incontinence occurs mostly in women, and it's often the result of a weakened or stretched pelvic floor from childbirth. The telltale symptom is leakage with pressure or stress on the bladder, such as when laughing or coughing. Stress incontinence is less common in men unless they've had an injury or had their prostate removed. Urge incontinence, overactive bladder, is characterized by an inability to get to the bathroom in time. It's caused by overactive contractions of the bladder muscle that may be related to an enlarged prostate in men, changes to the bladder lining or bladder muscle in postmenopausal women, or a chronic neurological condition such as multiple sclerosis. Overflow incontinence occurs when there's no room for additional urine because the bladder is not emptying, either because it is blocked or because it isn't working properly because of a neurological disorder or a medication side effect. Overflow incontinence primarily affects men with enlarged prostates. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today for our corporeal common sense ideas. Stay well and come back next week, please, for more healthy living information. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.